Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Lamed Daled in Brachos. God willing, we'll finish the fifth perek of Brachos today. We start with a Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis HaOmer Akansipor Yagio Rachamecha. Okay, right in the middle of the Amud, a little bit towards the bottom. The Mishnah starts off that if you make the following declaration during davening, HaOmer Akansipor Yagio Rachamecha V'Atov Yizacher Shemecha Modem Modem Meshakten Osel. So there are three statements that are made in this Mishnah which are heretical statements. Now, on the discussion of heresy, so there's obviously much to discuss, and we're going to keep our comments limited to just the daf today, but the three heretical ideas that the Mishnah says are just simply untenable, and as a result of that, if somebody's davening for the Amud and he would like to ad lib a little bit in his davening, so because these are such untenable concepts, so therefore we just simply quiet him, we silence him. Now exactly what that means, I'm not really sure, meaning we give him the hook, he's taken down from the Amud. Presumably, Mishakin also means that we vocally declare that what he said is just simply heresy. It's not clear, the Mishnah is not clear exactly what the procedure of silencing him is, right? I don't think we mean shoot him in the leg. I don't think it's to that degree, but in other words, certainly the basic concept of the Mishnah is that these ideas are heretical and therefore by nature these are ideas that should not be broadcasted nor advocated. The Mishnah starts off, we're going to go through all three of them. Akansipo Yagir Rechamecha. Okay, certainly a fascinating concept in of itself. You say the following. Last week's parsha, we read about the mitzvah shiluach haken. And the mitzvah requires that one is to send away the mother bird if one wants to take the eggs. Okay, Perek and Chulin dedicated to this topic. Not so long ago, we were in the Perek of shiluach haken.
Yesterday.
Right. We read it today.
No, I'm saying it was, I had an email saying they were doing...
Oh, somebody did it in the community. Yeah,
with
yeah.
The ducks.
Yeah, with the ducks.
So why would they do it?
Somebody shared with me. I also received the same. Somebody tried to do the mitzvah shiluach haken. They found a nest yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the mother and the eggs. Now the way the story was related to me is that the mother bird was so dumb that when they tried to shoo the mother bird away, she wouldn't fly away, and they tried to scare her. And okay, anyway, so akansipor yagir rachamecha. So first of all, it says Rashi like this. Anashim, I'm reading Rashi because I don't want to go off on my own. Anashim shayu mar matzmam kishem miskavnim lahamik b'loshen tachanunim. So they're going to add extra supplications in their davening. Now I'm not clear. I'm certainly curious to know when is he adding this in his davening? Shema Koleinu after the conclusion of Shemona Esrei. I'm not sure when Archazan is ad-libbing, but he's ad-libbing. He's inserting more tachanun into his davening. V'omrim racham v'chananata, and here's what he's saying now. This is our Shliach Tzibur who's going rogue. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so merciful, v'akansipur yagir rachamecha, meaning, look how merciful you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For the mother bird, you have rachamim, you have compassion for the mother bird, and that's why we have a mitzvah in the Torah of sending away the mother bird because of your rachmanus. Shamarta shalechet ha'im, shomer. Oh, sorry, that's the next part. That's the next part of the Mishnah. And since you're so compassionate that you're forcing us to send away the mother bird, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, please have the same type of rachmanus upon us. Okay, that doesn't sound so bad. Doesn't come off so bad. What is so bad about saying that such a tefillah? So stay tuned because we're going to discuss this in the Gemara. Well, the Mishnah over here is saying Meshatkin or so, we silence him, so I get the impression that somebody's saying this out loud, so I assume it's the Shliach Tzibur. I may be wrong, you may be right, but that's what I assume. So, V'al Tov Yizacher Shemecha. Or the other thing the Shliach Tzibur is ad-libbing in his davening is, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so happy over all the good things you've done for us. But we're not that interested in the bad. So, Modim, Modim. Or the third thing that you're saying is, you're saying Modim twice. Right? So there I think the problem is implicit, but we'll spell it out as we go through the Gemara. Now, well, let's go through the Gemara. So to repeat the words modim twice, that's a problem because it sounds like that you are not creating Yichud Hashem, but you're creating Pirud, meaning that you are suggesting that there are two Rishuyos, there are two powers. And obviously the very cornerstone of our entire faith is that there is not two powers, but it's just one, Yichud Hashem. Second mitzvah, the Rambam counts in the 613 mitzvahs. To miyachi Shem Hashem. So, the Atov Yizachir Shemecha Nami Mashmal Atov V'lo Al Ara. And to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm happy for all the good things you've done, but I'm not that excited about the bad things you've done, v'tzanan. Well, that defies a Mishnah that we're going to learn together at the end of the Masechta. Chayav Adam Lavarech HaLarak Hashem Shema Varech HaLatova. And the Mishnah says, it all comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, these two points are connected. Meaning there's one Rishuyos, and that one Rishus is responsible for both good and bad. And for what us perceived as bad may not necessarily be bad, but as we live here on this earth, it certainly seems bad, but they both come from the same source. And since they both come from the same source, so therefore, it's all good. That's the way you have to view it. At least that's what the Mishnah says later on. So, but here we get to the most interesting part of the daf, the most dynamic part of the daf, and that is, what's wrong with saying, Al-Kan Sipo Yagir Rechamecha? Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like you had compassion over that bird, over that mother bird, please have compassion upon us. So, Plik about Shri Amarai B'Marava. So, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a debate about this, what's heretical about this part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi bar Abi Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Chanamar Mimnei Shemantel Kinnam B'Masa Breishis, V'Chanamar Mimnei Shosim Midoso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim V'Einam Elagzeros. So, there are two opinions. We know who the Amarayim are, we just don't know who says what, but the two opinions go like this. One is that your Matel Kinnam, meaning, basically what you're saying is like this. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have compassion over the birds. Yeah, but it sounds like you only have compassion over the birds. Meaning you're not that particularly upset about any of the other animals, meaning the lions, the cows. In other words, this is just a halacha strictly for the birds, no pun intended. But meanwhile, you really don't have, it's not that you have compassion over anything else. So you're matel kinnah b'maaseh breishis. So you're really, you're creating jealousy. Okay. Now, I don't think the Gemara means that the cows are going to get jealous and the other animals are going to get jealous. But basically, it sounds like you're creating some sort of division and segregation amongst all of creation, and that's the problem. And the second reason is because here's what you're doing: you're making an assumption that the mitzvos in the Torah is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be compassionate for the mother bird. And that's what you're assuming, and that's wrong, says the second opinion of the Gemara. But rather, Einam Elak Zeros. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah simply for no other reason than it is a mitzvah. And that's it. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says it very strongly. Rashi says, Midosav Mitzvosav, meaning when the Gemara here is referring to the Midosav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not talking about the attributes, we're talking about His commandments. V'hu lo l'rachamim asa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when giving us the instruction of sending away the mother bird, that's nothing to do with compassion. But rather, it's for one purpose and one purpose only. Just simply to give us commandments. Lo'odia she'heim avadav v'shomrei mitzvosav. Just simply to say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give us commandments, we follow the commandments, we are your avadim. Ugzerusav chukasav avadivishyesh l'satein. And even those mitzvahs which are strange, right? Here we go. Sukkot is coming up. I'd like you to take a leaf of a palm together with three other species, and I'd like you to wave them in shul. Okay, so someone comes to shul in Sukkot and watches us wave, and they're going to say, well, why are you doing that? Okay, so you might have some Kabbalistic explanation, some sort of mystics, but right, according to our Gemara and according to the way Rashi's presenting to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it, we do it. It's really that simple. So what we have in our Gemara over here is a very basic debate in terms of whether or not there's anything behind a mitzvah. Meaning, is a mitzvah just simply a mitzvah? It's just simply a commandment, and that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says do it, we do it. He says jump, we simply ask how high. Is there any time behind the mitzvah, any reason behind the mitzvah? Or no, there's simply no time behind the mitzvah. And what it seems to be in our Gemara over here is simply a machlokas. Meaning the Gemara quoted a Mishnah, Kan Sipur Yagir Rechamecha, to what is so problematic about it. The Gemara gives two explanations. One of the two explanations is because there's nothing behind the mitzvah. A mitzvah is just simply a mitzvah. It's the beginning and the middle and the end of the whole story.
We just don't understand what it is. There's a reason.
Oh, okay, good. So that right. So there is a discussion to be had, a very long discussion to be had, and we don't have time for length, but there is a very basic discussion of whether or not there are reasons behind the mitzvahs. So it sounds like from our Gemara, at least according to one opinion in our Gemara, the answer is no. There's no reasons behind the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply says, do, we do, and that's it. And the only thing that it demonstrates is that we are avadim, which is obviously I mean, it's everything. It's critical. It's not a small thing by any means, stretching the imagination. But there's nothing to the particular mitzvah itself. So says one opinion of the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, as we just said. Okay.
What's wrong with saying it? Then?
Huh?
Then what is wrong with saying it?
Because when we say
Al Kan,
huh?
So what's wrong with saying it?
So it's a heretic.
The reason I can understand why you would insert it, if I got into this one, why?
Because it's a heretical statement. Meaning what you're saying is that there's tamei mitzvah. There are reasons behind the mitzvah. And that's the shmacks of heresy.
Well, no, according to the one who say there isn't, it's just a gezeirah.
Right.
So
then when you say, Al-Kan Sipor Yagir Rachamecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like you were compassionate on the bird, right, just like because you were compassionate on the bird, please have rachmanas on us. But you then it means that you fail to understand the basic tenet of mitzvos. Mitzvos is not about tamim. Mitzvos is about just simply do. Okay, good. All right, so that's it. So I'll tell you what. We have a lot to do today. So I'm not going to go through it right now, but there is a Ramban. So I encourage everyone to see. It's last week's Parsha. So Perichav Beis Pasuk Vav, Al-Kan Sipor Yagir Rechemecha, and the Ramban has a very important discussion about whether or not there is or there isn't Tamei HaMitzvot. Okay, if given time later on this morning, I'll come back, I'll paraphrase some of the more, some of the highlights of this Ramban. You know who he argues with. He argues with the Rambam on this issue. Okay, we'll come back to that if time permits. But in the meantime, however, let's go on to the Gemara, and because we have a lot we want to cover today. Okay, someone descends in front of Rabbah. I told you this before. Let's just reiterate that when they daven for the Amma, there was a pit in the middle of the shul. And what happens is the Shliach Tzibur doesn't get up on a high place, but rather goes into the pit and davens from the pit. I know the minhag nowadays in our shul and many other shuls is that the chazan stands on a higher platform. Okay, that's, opposite of what the minhag was. The minhag in the good old days was they went into a pit, and the reason is, Mimamakim karisicha Hashem. I call from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the depths. So, and he did exactly what our Mishnah told us not to do. So, Rabbah applauded. Right, he gave a big yeshakoyach pat in the back and said, that was beautiful. What a beautiful davening. So Amalei Abai v'hamashatkin oso tanan. So Abai turns to his Rebbe and says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, what are you saying? Our Mishnah says we silenced him. For Rabbah nam l'chadu de l'abai hu d'abai. And now Rabbah, it's a standard move of his. He says something which is patently incorrect, just to make sure that Abai is paying attention and he wants to sharpen his student. Ha'ud anach is coming to Rabbi Chanina Amar. So a shlich sibor, Chazin gets up in front of Rabbi Chanina, and he also starts ad-libbing in the middle of Ishmon Esrei. Amar akel agadol hagibor v'anora, ha'adir ha'izuz v'ha'yarui, maybe I pronounced that correctly, ha'chazak v'ha'amitz v'ha'vada v'ha'nichbad. And so what does he start doing? So we have three adjectives to use to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gadol, gibor, and nora. And what this shliach tzibur does is he's adding on. He's piling on the adjectives. Okay, so good thing, bad thing. We're going to see in just a moment. That's a really bad thing. Cannot pile on the adjectives. Himtim lo adesiim. Now here, interesting, Rabbi Chanina waits. Waits until this particular shliach tzibur gets to the end of his davening. Kisiim amar leisiim tin lo kule shavche demarcha. And he says with dripping sarcasm, you done yet? You finished? Like, you have anything more you'd like to add to Shmon Esrei? We love it. We absolutely love it. And by the dripping sarcasm, of course, what he means is, we don't love it. Lama l'chulehai? So, anan haniklas darmin, and look. We use three descriptive terms to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gadol gibor nora. And if we only say it because we have license to say it. Only because Moshe Rabbeinu said it. Elav darmin and Moshe Rabbeinu ba reis of asman shekinesis gadol v'taknina b'tfila. Even those three descriptive terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had Moshe not said in the Torah, and had Anshei Knesset HaGedolah not instituted it and legislated it as part of our davening, we ourselves wouldn't be allowed to use the descriptive terms to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'at amar kulei hai v'azalt. And here you go, just adding more adjectives to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's terrible. Mashal machbas of adam shaylo alaf alaf and dinar zarav. The Gemara says, let me see if I can give you, if I can explain this to you via analogy. Let's say you have a king who's got thousands of golden coins. And so you say, oh king, oh majestic king, you're so wonderful, you're so great. I love all your silver coins. And the king looks at you and says, silver? What are you talking about? I don't have silver. I have gold. Valo genai hulo. So every time you give a descriptive term that is short of what he is, so you're not elevating him. You're minimizing him. So when we go and we say, we start speaking and adjectives describing Kadosh Baruch Hu, so every time we add an adjective, we're not adding to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're minimizing, we're taking away. There is no way that we can fully assess the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're limited. He's not. So we can't assess His greatness. So therefore, every time we add an adjective, we're just simply taking, we're diminishing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that we say three, that's only, we do that only via license. Moshe wrote in the Torah, and the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, Anshe Knesset HaGedola put it into the Shemoneh Esrei. And by the way, we all know that's the Pshat Yishtabach. Right, when we say Pesukei Zimra, we're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu, and finally we realize Yishtabach Shimcha L'Malkeinu, and it's even clear on Shabbos, the way we say it on Shabbos. Meaning, we realize after trying to come to some sort of description of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're insufficient. We really don't have the words to use to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yishtabach Shimcha, meaning your name should be great, not because we think so, but simply because it is. Okay. Right, and we say on Shabbos we say V'ilu, Fino male shira kayam, meaning, right, in other words, even if we had more time to come to try to praise you, we come to the realization that we simply cannot. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Am Rabbi Chanina, kol bidei shamayim chutz miyerushamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yerushamayim. Right? Shenamar v'ata yisro ma'asham lokech shom me'imach ki'im liyirah. So that is the pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from one thing. It's not such a big deal. Just in other words, Yerushamayim, right? Make the right choice. Bechira chafshes. Now Rashi points out over here. We're all familiar with the Rashi. In fact, we just saw the same language just a couple of days ago, right? Everything to us comes to us genetically. So kol abala adam biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu kagon. I'm reading Rashi. Kagon aruch katzer. Now, how tall you're going to be in life? It's not up to you. How short you're going to be in life? Again, not. Ani va'asher, wealth, also not up to you. That's all destined and decreed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chacham shota, how smart you're going to be. Lavan shachor, your complexion. Ha'kol bidei shamayim hu. Avat tzadik v'rasha, eino ba al yedei shamayim. Et zu masar biyado shel adam. The only thing you could do is good versus bad. Meaning, bechir chafshid, you have the choice of either being good or bad. And that's what is left to us in our hand. And that's the only thing left to us in our hand. So the Gemara over here is bothered. Okay, it's a very basic yesod. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, fifth perek, take a look at it. Rambam discusses the significance of Bechir Chafshis, of us making our own choices regarding doing good versus doing bad. And that's the only thing left to us. Everything else is really up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what bothers the Gemara is just the way the Torah presents it. The way the Torah presents it, it's like, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not asking a lot from you. I'm just asking you to be good. That's not a lot. It's a big deal. So, out to Yerushalayim, Milsas Utrasahi. So, Vam Rabbi Chanin, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Mayocha, Inla, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Beveis Kanazav, Ela, Otsu, Shah Yerushalayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has in his storehouse a warehouse of Yerushalayim, Shanem, Yerush Hashem, He Otsarau. So, the Gemara says now, if it's in his warehouse, if it's in his quote unquote his treasury, obviously this is something that's very significant. It's really important. Why does he describe it as just, it's not a big deal? So the Gemara says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows his audience. Meaning, when he's speaking to Moshe, for Moshe, Yerushamayim, choosing, making the right choices, for him, Milsa Zutrasi. That wasn't a big deal. Look, you ask somebody, can I borrow $1,000? Okay. And this particular person has a lot of money. So for him, it's like, yeah, sure, no problem at all. Writes a check for $1,000. But katan ve'ein lo dama lav kikli gadol. But if you ask him for $5 loan, but this person is scraping and he really doesn't have much, so for him $5 seems like a lot of money. Everything is extraordinarily relative. We all know this. For Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Yerushamayim for Moshe Rabbeinu, not a big deal. Meaning he's got it. So for him, but for the rest of us, however, it is a big deal. And So HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyerushamayim. So that's, in other words, that's up to us and that's in our hands, the Yerushamayim. Amar Rabbi Zera, back to the Gemara. I'm sorry. Modem, modem, mishatken oso. Four lines from the bottom. Or lam gimel mid base. Amar Rabbi Zera, kol haomer shma shma ka omer modem modem dami. Now, if you repeat the first pasuk of shma, well, I'm sorry. I gave away some of the Gemara. If you repeat shma, let me just say the Gemara right now. Kipshuto. If you repeat shma, it's like repeating modem. Repeating modem is heretical. The Mishnah says mishatken oso because it sounds like you're acknowledging two sources, two powers. And that obviously is, that doesn't schmeck of heresy, that is heresy, to believe in more than one deity. So, if you say Shema twice, same story. Mishatken oso, that is also of a heretical faith. So, the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile we have a Braisa, and the Braisa says that if you say Shema and you repeat it, it is Meguna. Now, Meguna means disgusting. But Meguna is very short of being heretical. Meaning, let's give it a grade. Okay, I know I'm a teacher, so I think this way. But let's give it a grade. Meaning, obviously, to say Shema one time, that's an A. Okay, it's an easy A. Just say it once. If you but the Braisa says if you say Shema and you repeat it, so it's Meguna, it's disgusting. Okay, not going to call that an F. We'll call it a D. You want to call it a C even? Okay, but in other words, that's not an F. So Meguna hu dehavish esukal amashat kinalei. But that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, Mishatkin or so means you failed. I mean, that's an F. So it doesn't sound like from this Bryce we just quoted that he failed at saying Shema. So, Lokasha, Adamah, Milsa, Vatanila, Havdamah, Psuka, Psuka, Vatanila. So the Gemara says like this. If you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Lekin Hashem, Echad, and then you repeat that Pasuk, that's an F. That's Mishatkin or so. Because basically now what you're saying in two very clear statements is, there is a power, and then there's a power. Okay, that's heretical, that's untenable, that's just simply, that's not Yichud Hashem. So, and that's a failure. That's unacceptable, and for the person who does so, you silence him. What the Bryce is describing as being Meguna is the person who says Shema, and then without saying another word, says Shema again. And then says Yisrael, and then says Yisrael again. That's Meguna, that's disgusting. Now, why is that disgusting? Take a look at the last Rashi in the Samud. Kol teva v'teva chos v'shona Meguna have, shesuk lo mishatkin alei. She'ein ze doma le mekabel av shtei machuyos. This person is not accepting upon himself two deities, two powers. Ela limit lo tseitz. But says Rashi, you're not taking Shema seriously. You're like kind of like playing around. You're like Shema, Shema. So, Amar pasuk shalem v'tani la mishatkin alei demachzik eshtei reshuyos. But if you say the entire pasuk and then you repeat the entire pasuk, already now that's just simply not tenable. That is of heresy, and that is something that you silence the person.
Sounds like the opposite, though.
Okay, you could. It's funny. You could go the other way, but Amalei Rab. I present the Gemara like Rashi. Amalei Rab Papa La Abaye V'Dilma Mikarlo Kivin Date Lavasov Kivin Date. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maybe the first time he said Shema, he didn't have kavana. Right, he wasn't thinking. He wasn't properly focused. And then he said Shema again because he's focused. So how do you know that his repetition of the Shema has anything to do with his belief system? Maybe he's a monotheist, but maybe he's repeating Shema simply because he didn't have kavanah the first time around. And the Gemara says, huh?
We're saying the whole thing.
Yeah, yes, correct.
Not word by word.
Not word by word. So Amar Lei, Chavrusa Kapi Shema Me'ika. Such an enjoyable line of Gemara. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a chavrusa to you. He's like a friend. He's like a pal. Meaning, you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. And you can't muster enough kavana to have kavana the first time around. I love it. The Gemara just matter-of-factly says, well, you're davening. Of course you're going to have kavana. Just think about it for a moment of who you're speaking to, and you're going to have kavana. Yilo kiven date mikara machina le bimar zafta. And the Gemara says so smoothly, you know what? You don't have kavana. It's very simple. Just simply take a hammer and just start hitting yourself with the hammer until you have kavana. Meaning, what's the problem? You don't have kavana? Very good. So get kavana. So in other words, just sit for a moment, realize that you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you need to give yourself some beatings, and that way you'll have kavana. It's like just do it. Before you start with Shema,
right.
So you don't get to that situation where you don't have kavana. You said the first pasuk of Shema without kavana. The Gemara says ridiculous. Just simply have kavana. Okay. The Mishnah starts off. Now we are on the top of Lamed Aleph, if we're skipping the parentheses. Ha'over lefnei teva v'tah, yavor acher tachtav. So let's say a person gets up for the teva and he makes a mistake. Now, in other words, something where, for whatever reason, he himself cannot correct, or let's say he just forgot how to make a certain bracha. Remember Shmuel Akata not that long ago, forgot birchas aminim, but for him they were patient, right? Okay, that was a gemara we did some time ago. This particular shlech tzibur is up davening for the amud. He's trying to do it by heart, but he's getting stuck on a bracha. Okay, so what do? You go to the bullpen. So you make a call to the bullpen, I couldn't help it. And you call in the reliever. But here says the Mishnah, it's important. Veloyeh sarvan, right? I'm sorry. Veloyeh sarvan b'osasha. Now for the reliever, so in other words, if you get the call and you're asking to do relief work, so don't refuse. Meaning, as Rashi points out, as we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment. Generally speaking, if you're asked to daven for the Amud, so your first reaction should be no. I'm not going to daven for the Amud. And the Gemara says, look, it's a little bit of an act. Meaning, the Gemara says it. I mean, in other words, by no, of course you mean yes, but in other words, but even as an act, in other words, play the part. Don't immediately jump up and say, sure, I'm going to daven for the Amud. Meaning there should be even a feigned humility in davening for the Amud, and your position, your first position should be, no, I'd prefer not to. From a standpoint of humility, even though it is somewhat of an act, but still. Here, in this situation, this time does not call for any type of feigned humility. Meaning you have a guy davening for the Amud, he gets stuck on a bracha, he can't finish the job, and now you have the whole tzibur waiting. Now, of course, it's embarrassing for this person. Of course it is. But right, in other words, correct. In other words, you're now taking a bad moment, and if you're saying, no, it's okay, I don't want to daven for the Amud now, you're exacerbating the situation, don't say no. Says the Mishnah, go up there right away, right, and close the deal. Yeah, correct, Aaron, that's excellent. I totally support that position. If you don't know what you're doing, so then you really should say no. Correct, right. So where do you begin from? So from wherever the bracha is that he made a mistake. So he's that's not a good example because that one's that one you yank anybody. But in other words, Allah Sadiqim, Allah Chasidim. And he can't finish it. He can't close in that bracha. So now when you call on the reliever picks up from that bracha. At least that's what the Mishnah sounds like. You'll see there's another way to interpret the Mishnah, but what I'm providing for you is a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Ha'over lefnei teva lo yane amein acher kohanim. Now, you're davening for the Amud, so the Kohanim are up there, and the Kohanim are giving us three brachas. Yevrechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. I know it goes a little slower than that. And remember, I'm Ashkenaz. I only hear it on Yontif. So... So for us, it's an exciting thing. I know for you Sfaradim, you get to hear it every day. Sometimes two times a day. So lo yana amen acher kohanim. So if you're the shliach tzibur, don't answer amen. Okay. So mibnei atiruf. Why says the Mishnah? Because look, you're the shliach tzibur. You answer amen, you're going to get confused. Right? Where? Hold on a second. Where am I? Right? Am I up to the second pasuk? Am I up to the third pasuk? Did we start yet? So in other words, to avoid confusion, don't say amen. The amen sham kohen alahu lo yisas kapav. Now, let's say you're davening for the amud, and let's say you're a kohen. So now what? And we're talking about in a place where we're duchening, right? Either you're Sephardic or you're an Eretz Yisrael. Or Tiantif. And just Musaf. So now let's say you're a kohen, you're davening for the amud, and now it's time for duchen. Says the Mishnah, don't duchen. Why? Because for the reason we just laid out, because it's going to get confusing. Meaning you're davening for the Amud, now what you're going to do in the middle of your Amidah, by the way, turning around is not an issue. Meaning if you have to turn around to bless the people, that you do. That's not the issue. The issue is, you're going to get confused. So therefore don't do it. But says the Mishnah, if you're confident that you can do it, okay, and I know most of the people who get up there to daven for the Amud, they are confident. Correct. They did not have to see Durham. But if you're confident that you can do everything, you're a Kohen, you can daven for the Amud, you can turn around, you can duchen, and then you can bench the people, and then you can turn around and finish your Shemoneh Esrei. If you're confident that you can do it, says the Mishnah, so then you have license, then you're permitted to do so. Interesting, by the way. Meaning, the Mishnah says you cannot say Amen if you're davening for the Amud. So don't say Amen to the bracha of the Kohen. Okay, why not? So I ask the question, but we already know the answer because it's the Mishnah says it because it's going to confuse you. I can think of another reason why you shouldn't say Amen. So perhaps another reason that to consider is that that's a hefsek, meaning you're davening for the Amud. It's the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. And so you don't want to be mafsik with the word amen. The Mishnah doesn't say that. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say it, what's clear? It's clear that amen is not a hefsek. It's clear. In fact, this is not me talking now. This is Tosfos talking now. Take a look at 1, 2, 3, 4th Tosfos down from the top of the Amud. Lo yana amen achre kohanim imne atir of tema. Typically, the mafsik tefillah mon amen. So Tosfos wonders, I understand. Let's tell the Shliach Sibur not to answer amen to the Birchas Kohanim simply because it's a hefsek. V'yishlamer me'achre shlo amar hai tema. Shema minah dani yasamein lo chashiv lei hafsaka. And Tosfos makes exactly our observation. That amen is not a hefsek. Why? Very simple. Because it's sorach tefila. Because anything that has to do with davening is not a hefsek. Right? You know that after you wash your hands, you're not allowed to talk until you make motzi. Anything that has to do with the meal is not a hefsek. To ask for salt after you wash your hands is not an issue whatsoever. I know we grunt, we point, we gesture. Okay, we're funny people. What can I tell you? But in other words, if it has to do with it, tzorech hasu'ud is not a hefsek. If you're davening, tzorech hatfila is not a hefsek. Avalikros kohanim l'duchen omer rabbeinu tam she'en shlech sibur yachol l'korah. However, how about calling the kohanim up? Right, kohanim. So the shlech sibur shouldn't do it, says rabbeinu tam. Okay? Dechashiv hafsaka l'tfila im korin ela acher, I'm sorry, echa mimnei akal korin. Rabbeinu Tam says, here's what I think. I think to call the Kohanim up, that's not considered Tzorach Tefillah, and so therefore I believe, says Rabbeinu Tam, that the Shliach Sibur should not call up Kohanim, but rather, somebody else in the Shul should call up the Kohanim. That's our Minuk, right? That's the, right, Sfardim also same? Yeah? Okay, good. All right, and please go on, right, much more to discuss within this Tosfos over here, but I'm just highlighting the couple basic points from Tosfos. Let's go back to let's start with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. However, lifnei teva tzarech l'sarev. Okay, good. Here's the braisa. So someone asks the daven for the amud. We're not talking about a relief situation. We're talking about beginning of davening. Somebody, the gabbai goes over to you and says, would you please daven for the amud? Tzarech l'sarev. So your first position should be no thank you. V'imeinu m'sarev doma l'tav shashem bo melech. Now, if you don't refuse, so it's like you have a nice food, but you put no salt to it. Yeah, no taste, no flavor. Okay, so if you want to be a man of taste and flavor, so you got to say no. The imastar of yoser midai, dom latav shashik dichaso melach. However, if you're the person who keeps refusing, so that's like a food that's oversalted. Okay, so you want to be over here, just the right amount of salt. Say no, but don't say no too much. So Ketzer says, so where do we strike the balance? Pama Rishon Yisarev. So the first time you answer simply no. Shnia mehavhev. And then by the second time he asks you, so you start edging a little bit. You make a move. But in other words, you don't actually move to the Amud. Okay? You start to fidget a little bit. Shlishis poshes raglav yared. Now by the third time he asks you, already you should be running to the Amud. Okay, I should put the sign up in the...
But the Gabba has to make sure you ask to it more than once. Correct.
Once, somebody else. Correct. Right? The Gabba needs to know this halacha as well. Right, the Gabba, if he hears a no, he's like, okay, I'll move on. Yeah, that won't be so good. Tanu Rabbanan Shlosha Ruben Kasha Miyot and Yafin. Now, by three things, so a little of it is good and a lot of it is not good. And these three things are Ve'elohen Sa'or Melech V'Sar Vanus. Yeast, when you put yeast into your bread, a little bit of yeast is good. A lot of yeast is no good. Melech, salt, same story. A little bit of salt is good. Too much salt is no good. And sarvanut, refusal. A little bit of refusal, that's good. A lot of refusal is not good. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Okay, now we're back to our Mishnah. We're now discussing this Shliach Sibur making a mistake in his Shmoneh Esrei. And not only makes a mistake, he gets stuck. Well, I can say this Gemara one of two ways. So you know what? I'll start off with Rashi. Okay, let's start off explaining the Gemara like Rashi. The way Rashi understands our Gemara right now, he skips a bracha. Totally missed a bracha. So now, that's a mistake, obviously. Mm-hmm. In other words, the Shemona Esrei is 18 brachas. Of course, now it's 19. So you got to say all 19. Tam b'shosh rishon echoz el rosh. Now, if the mistake is made in one of the first three brachas, so the first three brachas are treated like a unit. We've gone over this halacha many times before. And so therefore, if you have to go back to any one of the first three brachas, you have to go back to the beginning. Because the first three is one unit. B'emtzai echoz el atachonein. Says Rav Huna, this is Rav Huna talking now, if you made a mistake in any one of the middle brachas, if you deleted, omitted any one of the middle brachas, so you got to go back to the beginning of the middle brachas, which is of course the Tachonein. And Ba'acharon is the Tachozer La'avoda. And if you make a mistake in any one of the last three brachas, so you go back to Avoda Ritzei. Okay, that is the opinion of Rav Huna. And Rav Asi Amar, I'm sorry, saying Lam Seder, and Rav Asi says the middle brachas have no Seder whatsoever. So, what exactly does that mean? Yeah. Huh?
Say it whenever you
want. What exactly does that mean? So the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, it's a very interesting Rashi, it's a very controversial Rashi. What Rashi says over here is like this. Let's say by accident you deleted one of the middle brachas. Okay, you didn't say Ala Tzadikim. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, here's what you do. Somebody's going in for relief, or let's say this Shliach Zibra himself. Is Abe remembers that he forgot one of the brachas of the Yud Ches, of the middle 13. So what you're supposed to do now, according to Rashi, is just simply add it at the end. You finish Shema Koleinu, okay. So whatever bracha you deleted, you omitted by accident, you just simply insert right there and then. That's the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Tosfos cannot fathom, cannot accept that this is the correct pshat of our Gemara. I'm sorry, saying Lam Seder, Perish HaKunshus, Amah, now the next Tosfos on the Amud, V'im Dilek Bracha Achas, V'achakach Nizkabah, Shalom Bim Koma, Omra Bim Malkum Shenizkar. So according to Rashi, as understood by Tosfos, whenever you remember that you left out a bracha, just insert it wherever you are, and continue in your Shemona Esrei. V'lo Nehira. And Tosfos says, no, can't be. That can't be the Pshana Gemara, and we're explaining, remember, now we're explaining Rav Asi, not Rav Huna. We're explaining Rav Asi. Even according to Rav Asi, that's not what he meant. Because look, you know the halacha is by when you read the Megillah on Purim. So you have to read it chronologically, in order. And the Gemara over there, it's the beginning of that second parak. The Gemara over there says, and the same thing is true by Kriyashma, Halal, and Shmoneh Esrei. Meaning, it has to be read chronologically correct. So Tosfos says, I don't believe that what Rashi is saying is the correct Pshat in our Gemara, and I think the correct Pshat in our Gemara follows like the Rashbam and like the Rif. And the way they understand it is like this. Meaning, let's say you forgot Ala Tzadikim, and now you're towards the end of the 13 year by Shomei Tefillah, and you said, oh no, I forgot Ala Tzadikim. Not like what Rashi says. Rashi just simply says, just throw it in right there. No, says the Rashbam. No, says the Rif. What you're going to do is you're going to go back to Ala Tzadikim, and then you continue Kiseder. But from there. In other words, once you go back to Ala Tzadikim, then you have to chronologically continue through. But what you don't have to do is you don't have to go all the way back to Atachonein. Shechozel Arosh. And Tosfos goes on to prove that this pshat seems to be the correct pshat. He quotes other Gemaras, and fine. And then Tosfos points out halach lamaisa. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah, and Esersi made tshuva. And Tosfos points out, so you have to keep this in mind. Meaning, if you forgot, let's say instead of saying Amelach Hakadosh, you say Hakel Hakadosh. Right? Common mistake during Esersi made tshuva. So you say Hakel Hakadosh. So now, Hakel HaKadosh is the third bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So that's considered the Gimel Rishonos. So there, you got to go all the way back to the beginning of your Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, fine. But let's say you forget HaMelech HaMishpat, and you say, instead of HaMelech HaMishpat, I am that Shliach Zibor who forgot the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so you say the regular weekday Shmoneh Esrei. So what do you do? So Tosfos says over here, based on the Rif and based on the Rashbam, if you're still in your Shmoneh Esrei, it's funny. He writes over here, even if you finish your Shmoneh Esrei, you got to go back. That's not the halacha as we accept it. But anyway, he says, but just for our purposes, the point being, you got to go back and say Amelech HaMishpat and continue from there. You can't just insert it from where you are and go on, but you got to go back to the bracha of of din, and go forward from there. Okay, so that's the a synopsis of Tosfos. Yes, yeah, so in other words, but he said it wrong. So saying it wrong the first time doesn't count as one, as the first time. He said it wrong. You're right, by the way, because all the other brachas he said after that were correct. But once you're forcing the person to go back and say that correctly, so then the rest of it has to be said a la Seder. Even according to Rav Asi, there's still a Seder. You just simply don't have to go back all the way to Atachonein.
Even if you finish the Shemana.
Well, again, this is where it gets a little complicated. Because Akela Kadosh, yes, you got to go back. Hamelech HaMishpat, the Ar Halach is no. Tosfos, it's interesting. Tosfos over here says you got to go back even for Hamelech HaMishpat. But that's not what we accept, La Halacha. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Asi Amar Emsai Sein Lam Seder. Meizer Rav Sheishes. Meichno Chozer. Mitchel Sabach HaShatazah. So it's Yufta de Rav Huna. So if you read our Mishnah sounds exactly like Rav Asi. Because what is our Mishnah talking about? A guy who made a mistake in one of the brachas in the middle. So what does our Mishnah say? Go back. But go back where? Not to Atachonein. Go back to the place where you made a mistake. So Amalecha Rav Huna says Kulu Chada Berchasa Ninu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could do to defend Rav Huna is the following. Maybe what we could say is the Pshat in the Mishnah being like this. Our Mishnah says go back to that section, meaning maybe the Mishnah doesn't mean that section, that bracha, but that entire section. Meaning all 13 brachas are really one unit, and maybe what the Mishnah meant is go all the way back to the beginning of that whole unit. Perhaps that's what the Mishnah meant in defense of Rav Huna. By the way, Tosfos notes that we don't pass like Rav Huna, we pass like Rav Asi. Why? Because Rav Sheshet holds like Rav Asi. Again, that Tosfos, which I skipped it, it goes through a whole slew of reasons why the accepted halacha is like Rav Huna, like Rav Asi, not like Rav Huna. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Lolam Aisha Adam Strachav Lo B'Shal Shoshonos V'Lo B'Shal Shachronos. Okay, in your Shmon Esrei, don't ask for anything from Hashem in the first three brachos, nor the last three brachos. Ela be'emtzios, but only in the middle brachos. Da'am Rabbi Chanin, Rishonos, Doma Le'avish, Amasadit Shevach, Levnei Rabo. Okay, we all know this, we're all familiar, we've said this idea many times, the Gemara here says it beferish. The first three brachos are Shevach, that's praise. Excuse me. Emtzios, Doma Le'avish, Amavakish, Pras, Me Rabo. The middle 13, those are all our requests. Those are the petitions. And Acharanis, Doma Le'evit Shekibah Pras Me'rabo. And the last one says, as if you received your pras, your prize. V'nifter v'holech lo, and now you can go on. But the last three are not an appropriate place to make any type of request. Tenor Rabban Amaisa B'tam Echa She'ol Lefnei Ateba V'nei Rabbi Eliezer V'ayam Marich Yoser Midai. Guy davening for the Amud in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he was going on. Okay, he was enjoying the moment of being the Shliach Tzibur. Amalei Talmid of Rabbeinu Kama Archan Huzeh. So the students complain to Rabbi Eliezer. He's going on. Amaleim Klum Ma'arich Yosem Mimosha Rabbeinu Dichziv Be, Yisar Abim Ayom, Yisar Abim Alayla. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, Moshe also went on. Davening for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm sure the students were not excited hearing how davening could perhaps last now for 40 days and 40 nights. But the point that Rabbi Eliezer says is that there is license in the Shliach Tzibur to go at the speed that he would like. And so he's schlepping, fine. That's fine. Now here another Shliach Tzibur went the other way. He went really quickly. So Amalei Talmid of Kama Katsranu Zeh. And of course, so there was complaints about that. Meaning, you know, by the way, you can never do it right. There's no such thing as too fast or too slow. It's just simply, it's whatever he's not doing right now. That's what bothers me. So I'm like, Klum Mekatzi Yosem Moshe Rabbeinu Dichziv Kal Narafan Allah. Well, Moshe davened, and davening for Moshe at one occasion lasted all but five words. So you're complaining about it's too quick. Moshe davened five words. So, in other words, the speed and duration of the Shliach Tzibur is really it's personal, and
prayer comes in many forms.
And by the way, also the Gemara points out complaining is also part of the Masara. It's traditional to complain. I'm Rav Yaakov. I'm Rav Chisda. Klam Avakash Racham Alchaver and Tzarach Lask Yerushimo. Anyone who asks Rachmanus for his friend doesn't have to mention him by name. Shenemar Kel Narifan Allah, because we know by Moshe Rabbeinu praying on behalf of Miriam didn't mention her by name. V'lo Kimedakir Shmei de Miriam. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Elu brachos she'adam shoheh b'hem. Okay, so shocheh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. Shocheh behem. So where do you bow? Now, the idea behind bowing, I get it. When I was preparing the Gemara yesterday, I started to better understand this whole idea behind bowing. Bowing is a sign of subservience. Right? It's really a reflection of I'm a low individual and I am lowering myself. That's the idea behind bowing. So when you think about it, really, it's not out of this world to say, okay, so bow a lot, meaning you're in your Shmoneh Esrei, you want to be machnir yourself, you want to reduce yourself, so go for it. In other words, go for maximum reduction and just keep bowing. So what the Gemara is telling us right now is, no, limit the amount of bowing that you do. In other words, there's a cap on when you should bow and how many times you should be bowing. So Eila Baruch Hashem Shocheh Behem Ba'avos Tchila V'Sof Behoda. I'm sorry, Tchila V'Sof Behoda Tchila V'Sof. So the Gemara says like this, that really should only be at Ba'avos, the first Baruch Hashemon Esrei, beginning and end, which of course is what we do, and Modim, beginning and end. V'im Ba'al Hashuach V'Sof Kol Baruch U'Bracha U'V'Tchilas Kol Baruch U'Bracha Malam Demaso Shelo Yishcha. And if somebody is now deciding, you know, I'm going to do it for every bracha, beginning and end, so explain to him, don't do it. Very interesting wording of the Gemara. If he's going to do it, explain to him not to do it. Why doesn't the Gemara just simply say, you can't do it? So again, it goes back to what I explained just a moment ago. Because it's not fundamentally wrong. It's nothing, in other words, this person is just simply interested in being machni himself, in lowering himself, reducing himself, making himself more humble. So his intention is good. The point the Gemara is making, however, is, but that's still. The Chachamim only inserted Yishtach Havaya in the first bracha and in the last bracha. So therefore, we do that only then. Amar Rav Shimon ben Paz, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Hejo Kamo Shamarnu. Now, for the rest of us, for the commoner, as we just described, the four times that you bow. Kohen Gadol, b'sof kol bracha bracha. If, however, you are the Kohen Gadol, so there you do need reduction. Because as a Kohen Gadol, you're a person of importance. You have a significant position. And so therefore, when you daven, you need increased hachna'a. So therefore, you should bow by every bracha. V'amelch t'chila kol bracha u'bracha v'sof kol bracha bracha. Now, when you're the king, you need even more reduction. You are the melech. You are the number one. So in other words, you are in an exalted position. So therefore, while you're davening and you're subservient before Kadosh Baruch Hu, so reflected by bowing, beginning and end of every bracha. Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Nachman Lidim Mefarsh Limine Derav Shu Malevi Hedju Kamosh Amarnu Kohen Gadol Tchila Kol Bracha Bracha Hamelech Kevin Shekaru Shuvein Azokev. Now, when it comes to the king, bow and never get up, meaning you should be in a constant state of literally bent in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenem Ravi Ika Kalo Shlomo Lispalo Kam Lifnei Mizbech Hashem Michroa Al Berkav. The Gemara quotes a pasuk Shlomo Amalch by the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, the Akamas Beis Hamikdash, that exactly that when he bowed, he bent over and did not get up until the end of Ishmon Esrei. Tana Rabban in the Gemara over here records for us the different types of bowing. Kida Al Apayim, when we talk about Kida. So kida is done on your face. You bow all the way down to your face. Shenem Rav Tikar Basheva Apayim Eretz. Kriya Al Berkayim. Bowing is with your knee. I'm sorry. The term kriya is with your knee. Shenem Rav Michroa Al Birkav. And Ishtachavaz Upishu Yadam Veraglayim. And I guess the most extreme way of bowing is what's called Ishtachavaya, is where you are hands and feet on the floor. Shenemar havon avon aniva v'imach v'achich lishtachavos lach artza. Right? Yaakov says to Yosef, come on, me and your mother and the brothers, we're not all going to bow down in front of you. Okay. Amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Chia Bereid, Rav Huna Chazin Lohu Labai V'Rav Adamas Latzulye. Now, we found that by Abai and Rava, when they would bow, so they would not spread out their hands and feet as we just described. We have learned in one brisa that doing kriya in the bracha modim is praiseworthy. We learned another brisa, meguna. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. whether you're Korea in the beginning or you're Korea at the end. So in the beginning you should not, in the end you should. Rava kara bahoda, tchila visof. Rava did it both in the beginning and the end. Amri le rabban, and amai kaavid mar hachi. Amalu chazin le Rav Nachman de kara. What do you mean? I saw Rav Nachman do it both in the beginning and the end. The chazin le Rav Sheshes de kaavid hachi. And I saw Rav Sheshes do this. Vatanya kore bahoda is a maguna. Hayi bahoda shabahal. The Gemara says no. Moedim, you're supposed to bow. And kriya, with your knees and with your head. When the Bryce here is describing it being something which is not good, that's talking about hala. Yeah, when we say no delacha, that's another modim. That's also not a place where you should be bowing. The only modim that we should be bowing, not the modim of hala, which by the way, Rashi points out, hodul Hashem kitov, not the modim of birchas hamazon, no delacha, but rather only the modim of Shmone Esrei. Alright, we're right, it's too much. Hamispalel vita'a siman ralo. We're not going to be able to finish the parak, but let's go on because I don't want to fall behind, too far behind. So if you daven and while davening you chance upon a mistake while you're davening, that's a bad sign. V'im shliach sibrahu siman rahu l'shlucho. Now if you're davening for the amun, it's a bad sign for the community. Because remember, as a Sheikh Zibor, you're a representative of the Jewish people, of that community, and so therefore, being that you're a Shliach, so your davening really is davening for everybody. And Rabbi Chanina Mendoza when he was davening, so he said, this chola, he's going to do well. This chola, not going to do so well. So they ask him a very simple question. That's very impressive. How do you do that? Because it's simply, I look at how the tefillah comes off my tongue. If it's smooth, if it rolls off my tongue, that's good. Meaning, that's a good prognosis for this particular patient. If, however, I'm stumbling and the words are not coming smoothly out, that's not good. Now, I know we're people who do not believe in omens. Right? Tamim tiyah lefnei Hashem lokechem. So really, we're not people that look for omens. So it's interesting because over here, our Mishnah clearly is looking at the style of davening, your speed in davening, as a forecast, as a way of forecasting. Okay, that's... It's a fair point which I'm raising. Perhaps and another time we'll discuss, but not now.
The mission is to say if it really happened.
Look, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. We also have Simanim by Rosh Hashanah as well. It's a good discussion. Okay, let's just do a little bit of Gemara. We'll have to conclude for today. So, I am Rabbi Chiyam Rav Safra Mishum Chad de Rabbi Ba'avos. So, where is it a Simon Ra? So that is by Avos, the first bracha. Now, this statement that Avos is critical is not going on the good omen that's produced when you fly through the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, but rather is going on the braisa. Where the braisa says, "Hamispal tzarich shechames libo bekulam, v'im eino yachol lecham mekul yechames libo ba'achas." Look, really you should have kavana for all Shmona Esrei. That's a lot of kavana. Okay? It's hard to have kavana for all 18 brachas, and now we even have a 19th. But if you're not going to have kavana for all 19, says the Braisa, at least have kavana for one of them. Which one? I'm Rabbi Chiyam, Rav Safra, Mishumcha Debe Rebbe Ba'avos. The first bracha of Shmona Esrei is the one where it's critical. There you're supposed to have kavana. You can ask me the question, what if you don't have kavana for Avos? Okay, see Shulchan Aruch, see Mishnah Berurah. For more,
get a hammer.
But yeah, right. Just use the technique that we mentioned earlier by the Shema. Excellent way to end Shir. Okay, we will conclude here. Rabbi Chanan Yemenakash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Hu Zakhus Alafiach Acher Bam Torah Mitzvah Shenamar Nechavitz Matigol Yagdil Toravi Adir.